I'm not looking for people who want to be famous or powerful. I'm looking for poor in spirit. I'm looking for those who are willing to say, God, you can do whatever you want with me. David thought of himself differently than you might realize. Sometimes we equate his accomplishments, his achievements, with human skills, psychological skills of determination, stick-to-itiveness, diligence, and all those things are essential. But David thought of himself differently. In Psalms 131, verse 1, it says, David says of himself, he says, I don't involve myself in complicated matters. Probably richest man on the planet, most powerful man on the planet, governing the most powerful nation on the planet, with unbelievable responsibility of government, management, development, warfare, conquering enemies around him. That guy says, I don't involve myself in complicated matters. There's something in that statement that I think prophesies his strength to us. And his strength was not human devotion. His strength was not human discipline. His strength was none of those things that I do think have value. His strength was he completely and totally depended on God to show up to do what only he could do. When Solomon, his son, became king, there's this incredible moment in 1 Kings chapter 3. In this chapter, Solomon is sleeping, and the Lord appears to him in his sleep. And he says, ask what I shall do for you. I know this is material we've talked about before, but I can't help but I'm just fascinated by how a person can be so intentionally trained for divine purpose that God can show up to them while they're sleeping and actually trust them to make a decision that will last for the rest of their life. He can trust them with a decision while they're sleeping. Because he's sleeping, God says, ask what I'll do for you. And Solomon says, I want wisdom. And the Lord says, you have what you've asked for. Actually, literally, he didn't ask for wisdom. He asked for a hearing ear, which gives us the other side of the coin. The hearing ear is what gives us access to wisdom. It's an acknowledgement. It is not a human wisdom. It is wisdom from another world. And if I don't hear you, I won't get it. And he prays this prayer in his sleep because he was prepared for purpose as a child, as a young child. He was groomed for the responsibility, privilege, and position of leading the nation of Israel. But the thing that preceded his prayer request was a confession. This is in 1 Kings 3. I'm sorry, I'm just making references. When we do it again, I'll be more teacher-like. Maybe. He said, God, I'm a child. This is King Solomon. God shows up in his sleep and he says, ask what I'll do for you. And he says, God, he says, I'm a child. I don't know how to go out. I don't know how to come in. I don't know how to carry this that you've assigned to me to be king. I don't know how to do it. I don't have the ability to go out and represent that office well and come back in here and live in a way that is consistent with my assignment. I don't have the capacity. And I've got this feeling that if you're not overwhelmed by your assignment, then you don't see your assignment clearly. Because just the revelation of purpose brought the most powerful man on the planet to his knees in his sleep. And he says, God, I've got to have a hearing ear. And the Lord spoke to me, said, because you didn't ask for wealth, fame, or long life, I'm going to give to you all the things you didn't ask for, and I'm going to give to you wisdom. It's very similar to the prayer, seek first the kingdom, and all these things will be added. It is a kingdom principle. When your priorities are right, there's a trickle effect on things you don't pray about. There's a trickle effect on things that don't matter to you that suddenly matter to God, and they become some of the most pronounced parts of your life. Jesus came along and identified this trait that was in King David and this trait that was in Solomon. And in the most famous sermon of all time, the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7, Jesus started with these words. He said, blessed. The word blessed means happy, profoundly happy. Happy, blessed are those who are poor in spirit. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Poor in spirit is not a place of self-criticism. It's not a place of beating, you know, oneself, self-judgment, self-condemnation. It's none of those things. In fact, all of that is a counterfeit of poor in spirit. See, you can tell the difference. When you're filled with self-judgment, criticism, condemnation, all that garbage, you don't have the courage to take risk. That's right. But the poor in spirit will take risk. Yeah. Because their entire life is dependent on God showing up, because he's a God of promise. He's a God of covenant. So good. You can tell. You can tell instantly whether or not you have the readiness to take great risk, because that evidence reveals the trait that's working in me now is poor in spirit. It is not self-criticism. It's interesting. The Bible says if you're merciful, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain. This is not a trick question. I know you don't trust me, and I don't blame you, because I have tricked you before. But let's try it again. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. So if you're merciful, you obtain mercy. But if you're poor in spirit, you get the whole kingdom. Poor in spirit gives you access to the entire realm, not just a taste of a particular realm. Poor in spirit is the qualifier. Poor in spirit is what made David great. Poor in spirit is what attracted God into the bedroom while Solomon was sleeping and gave him an option that he couldn't trust anyone else with. It was poor in spirit. Gave him the kingdom. This is transferred into Jesus' life. And throughout the Gospels, one of the most astonishing realities that I see in the Gospels is that you have well-trained students of the Word, well-trained students of Scripture that were clueless as to who Jesus was when they saw him. They were trained to know what was supposed to happen and when, and yet they completely missed the guy that was standing in front of them. It doesn't mean that being a student of Scripture is a strike against you. It just means if you're a student of Scripture, you better have an ear, because it's the Holy Spirit who interprets his own book. Self-will in Scripture only brings a resistance to the move of the Spirit of God. It's way too easy to think you know how God is going to show up next. And for that reason, the scribes and Pharisees, the Sadducees, this were a group of people that were trained in the scripture, but they completely missed Jesus when he showed up. And yet, strangely, the prostitute knew exactly who he was. The tax collector is basically a legal thief, government-sponsored thief. He knew exactly who Jesus was, climbed a tree just to get a better look. And you go through the list of the bad guys of the New Testament, they all knew who he was. Because there's something about, give me a moment to explain this because this is going to sound weird. Ready? There's something about being locked in sin that creates an awareness of need. That those who are well-trained in scripture become insulated to their own awareness of need. And it's the awareness of need that actually positions a person to recognize what God is doing when he's doing something. And I watched it here 18 years ago when that outpouring started here. I watched it. I don't want to say I was surprised, but it's always a journey. I watched so many people that I thought would respond so with such zeal and surrender couldn't get to the back door fast enough because it just didn't make sense to them. And then I watched people that I never thought would respond to the move of the Spirit of God, lay down everything. I try now, I don't want to say I've learned my lesson, but I try now to not try to figure anything out. Because I struck out so many times. It's embarrassing. But I watched as people would come in, and I watched as drug addicts and people that are on the last leg of their married life, or they're so broken in life for whatever reason, a thousand different reasons, maybe the results of war or whatever it might be. And they would come in. You know what? I don't remember one of those folks ever having a problem with the move of God that was happening in the building. The only people that had a problem are those that were trained. It's just, there's something about the condition of life that says, I'm a person in need, that helps you to filter through stuff. It's something, and it doesn't mean there has to be sin to be aware of need, but you know, it's just inescapable. Jesus looked at a group of people, the religious leaders, and he said to them, he said, the well don't need a physician. Who were the sickest people on the planet? The people he was talking to. But if they didn't recognize their disease, they couldn't value what he brought them. Does that make sense? This last week, Benny and I were in Toronto, as I've mentioned, and I think maybe the greatest honor of my life was to be in the room, to be honest with you, with some of these heroes of mine who I now know personally, and I watch them at the dinner table. I watch them by the side of the pool because we do spend a few days together every year just resting and kind of downloading, debriefing, I should say, on what we see God doing. And they're the same by the side of the pool. They're the same in the restaurant. They're the same in all of these places of rest as they are in a public gathering, leading a great meeting of revival or healing. And to be in a room with these folks that are now celebrating a 20-year anniversary, and then to have somebody stand and say, I had a dream. And in this dream, a very large wave caught up to and overtook a smaller wave. Now, let's be frank here. That smaller wave is the biggest wave I've ever seen. And it was quite terrifying. And now I get told a bigger wave is going to overtake what has changed my life forever. Now, I don't mean this in a condemning way. Just hear me out. But I'm concerned because I know history. And in history, those who experience the last wave are seldom at the forefront of the next one. And oftentimes don't experience it at all. Why? Because in knowing nothing, they learned how God moves. And now they know what to expect next time and almost disqualify themselves. And God once again has to find people who don't know what they're doing. Why? Because the poor in spirit get the whole kingdom. So I want you to stand. If we only had one Sunday morning service and this was it, I'd have an altar call and make all of you come forward. But we have to curtail things a little bit, but I know God is big enough to whack you where you are. What takes a guy like Randy Clark, who is one of our closest friends, and takes him from a guy who pastors a small church in St. Louis to Toronto, and he lays hands on a guy named Leif Hetland, who was a Norwegian Baptist pastor who had never prayed for the sick, had never done anything of any significance in that regard. And Randy prays for him and says, I see you as a bulldozer going to the dark places of the earth, only to find that God suddenly has changed his entire life from a Baptist Norwegian pastor to an evangelist that goes into Pakistan and who has personally led over 1 million Muslim Pakistanis to the Lord Jesus. 1 more person that just received a touch. I'm not looking for people who want to be famous or powerful. I'm looking for poor in spirit. I'm looking for those who are willing to say, God, you can do whatever you want with me. I prayed that prayer. It's not important for now, but had the encounter of my lifetime. And I feel like the Lord wants to do it again. And I don't want to miss it. I don't want to be an observer. I want to be a participant. I don't want to know enough to disqualify me. I hope that makes sense to somebody besides me. I'm saying amen in my heart to what I'm saying. Let's ask him to do it again. Go ahead. Holy Spirit, come. Reignite us. New mantles for a new day. Prepare us for the greater wave of presence, of glory, of purpose. Yielded hearts. Poor in spirit. Let there be a grace released for poor in spirit, almost as though it were a gift that could be imparted. Do something in us that makes us ever ready to take great risk. Lord, increase this, I pray. Increase. again, Lord. A fresh baptism of fire. A fresh baptism of fire, God. Even those who watch on TV, a fresh baptism of fire. A fresh, mighty outpouring, a baptism of fire. Come, Lord. Yes, increase this. Increase it. Increase it again, God. Increase it again. Increase it again. That's God. Just let her be. That's God. More. Just pray that most famous prayer of all. More, Lord. More, Lord. Right here. Start right here with me. More, God. Go deeper, Lord. More. Increase this, Lord. Increase this, God. Someone next to you if you'd like, and just pray for them. Just pray, God, just double it. Just increase it. Increase so dramatically. Increase it so dramatically, God. Increase it so dramatic. Increase. Without limit, beyond measure. Increase this, God. Increase this, Lord God. Increase this, Lord God. Increase. More. More, God. Go deeper still. More. More, God. More. Increase. He's not through if you're not through. pray bold prayers. Pray bold prayers. Pray bold prayers. Pray costly prayers. Costly prayers. Pray expensive prayers. Do it again, Lord God. Do it again. Do it again, Most High. Do it again. Do it again. Do it again. Fresh, fresh baptism of fire. Lord God, do it again. Increase this time. Increase this time. Increase. Let the greater wave overtake the smaller wave. God, we don't want to read about it. We don't want to just hear about it. We just want to sing about it. God, do it in this city. Do it in this house. Yes, God. Yes, God. Yes, God. Yes, God. We say yes, God. We say yes. We say yes, God. We say yes. Yes, God. Yes, God. We do. We say yes. This week could very well be the most important week of our life. It's quite possible for many in this room that this week will define the remainder of your days. And we say yes before it even starts. We say yes. We say yes. His name is like honey on my lips. His spirit's like water to my soul. Your word is a lamp unto my feet. Jesus, I love you. I love you. 'Cause your name is like honey on my lips. Your spirit's like water to my soul. Your word is a lamp unto my feet. Jesus, I love you. I love you. Yes, God. Thank you. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Melt me, mold me, fill me, you. Living God, fall afresh on me. Sing it again. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Melt me more, fill me, you. Melt me, mold me, fill me, use me, Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Oftentimes I wake up to pray, but there was a season where I would wake myself up praying, and there is a difference. And those seasons where I would actually wake myself up because I was praying, well, I don't want to at all put it on the same level or magnitude as Solomon's visitation. In the night, I would like to say, when you're possessed with purpose, he trusts you with decisions you make in your sleep. And you find yourself doing things even while you sleep that contribute to your destiny. And I pray, Lord God, that right now you would apprehend the hearts, the minds, the souls of everybody in this room, everybody watching online, everybody who's listening to podcasts. I ask the same. I ask for a great visitation, a great and mighty outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And we just pray, God, let the greater wave overtake the smaller wave. And with reckless abandonment to you, we say, bring it on, Jesus, and please let us be a part.